At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Evening, boys.
Evening, Sally.
Welcome to The Chatting, your local podcast. I'm Rob.
I'm Kirk.
I'm Mark.
And I'm
the other Mark.
3 pints, Sally. And what are you having?
I'll have a martini. A stirred.
Cheers. Offer to Mova.
Wow.
How do you think that went then?
That were all right, wasn't
it? Yeah, that was fun, weren't it?
I thought it was shit.
Yeah, you were.
Did. Yeah. You loved it, didn't you?
I did. I thought it was brilliant.
I did as well. I did. I must admit, I was very nervous beforehand. And I thought, out of everybody, I thought I was going to be quite cool about it.
But you were the coolest one out of all four of us when we were talking. Well, apart from Mark, actually. Mark, I thought, I were looking for defib for Mark. I thought your pulse had gone that low.
I was just quite chilled, you know. Yeah. I'm just doing my thing.
I weren't. And I were all right beforehand. But then more and more as it went on, or got closer to it as starting, I'm thinking, oh no, I am nervous now. I got proper butterflies.
Really?
Yeah.
What, the more we went in?
No.
Oh, you mean the nearer we got to the start?
Okay, sorry.
Right.
And I'm thinking, oh.
Do we think that we need to give any context to this for anyone that's listening going, what the hell are they talking about?
well, more than normal?
Yeah.
Well, we've just finished. So we've just come off.
You can't make it sound like we've done a triathlon.
Yeah. Iron Man.
Say stage.
Say stage. Yeah, we've just come off stage.
Yeah.
You know, our first live event at the ball. The ball. I don't know why I always want to call it the ball in. Was it ever called the ball in?
Yeah. And it's still known as the ball in.
Right.
Even though people say I'm going at ball.
Yeah.
But yeah,
That's why then. So yeah, we've just finished this first live event at the ball.
I'd just like to give a big shout out and say a massive thank you for having us because, very, very hospitable.
Yes. Yeah, Ty, you were
and
very
Shell.
Helpful. And
Shell, the landlady, who allowed us to do it. And,
well, and everyone else that worked the event. Yeah, it was really good. And also everybody else that helped us, from Sally.
Yeah.
Yes.
Leone.
Anybody else were there? Who else helped us?
See, now you've started naming them.
I know.
I did this.
To everybody that helped out.
Yes, that came.
Yeah.
Yesterday.
No. I weren't going to say yesterday. I was going to say yes.
Oh, I thought you said yesterday.
No, yes.
Ah, yeah. Hey, don't give the game away.
So, did you enjoy it? That's my question.
Eventually, yeah.
Eventually?
Yeah. Initially, I mean, don't get me wrong, when we walked in and they were all cheering and stuff, and I was like, wow.
Oh, yeah,
yeah. It's going to sound a bit ridiculous here, but I felt a little like a rock star.
Well, you drink like one, Mark.
Well,
you certainly do drink like a rock star. So
I must admit, I noticed Tony Styles, one of our listeners.
Yeah.
So he commented on our socials, didn't he, saying he wished he could have been there, but he was down in that there, London. And I thought it was funny. Did he put on today something along the lines of that he'd been to an Iron Maiden concert?
Yeah.
With 75,000 people?
Yeah.
I thought, oh, well, we're a little way to go.
Yeah. Well, while we're talking about people, I think Jacqueline, one of my one and only fan, I think she sent us a message.
She wanted to come.
She faxed him.
Well, you know, we saw that sort of thing on that sort of level. So she emailed, said that she would have loved to have been there, but she couldn't make it. So she wished us luck. So, I mean, we've just finished.
Try harder next time, Jacqueline.
So, but yeah, you know, we'll be doing it again sometime, Jacqueline.
Well, thanks for your email as well.
But thank you for the email, yes.
I must admit, Kirk, you, Mark, it was you that said it. I also really enjoyed it once I settled down a little bit.
Yeah.
That start was just a little bit nerve-wracking. You know, like you're walking in.
You mean where you forgot your line?
Yeah.
You forgot your cue point.
The thing is, I don't think you realise just how close the people at the front were going to be.
Yeah.
Because they were so busy.
Yeah.
People were having to stand up, weren't they, at the front, which, you know.
It's not a bad
thing. Full credit to them for sticking it out and standing, because it were red hot in there as well, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So the fact that they were stood so close to us, you were like, almost like, eyeballing them. You know?
Although, was it only me that was looking at them stood so close to the banner? They were almost leaning against the banner. And I'm thinking,
that's cost money.
Don't ruin the banner.
Yeah.
Do not ruin the banner. Because they were very close to it.
What's the alternative? You know when you've got, when someone's beady-eyed?
Yeah.
What's the term if it's your hearing? If you say, right, if you're beady-eyed, you've got very good eyesight.
Yeah.
Or you've got attention to... What is it if it's your ears?
Hearing.
Is it beardy ears?
Ears of the wolf. The wolf.
Ears of the wolf. So those of you that have got ears of a wolf will probably notice that there's no background noise other than the ambient sound of this beer garden that we're sat in, which is the first time we've ever done anything like this outside, isn't it?
Absolutely, yeah.
Because obviously we've just finished. And
you know, it's lovely as well, because there's a slight breeze. The wind
That's
is
me, sorry.
Well, the breeze is blowing up one leg through my balls. And back out the other side. It's like a heat exchange, just cooling my nuts down. It's lovely.
I think that's
I don't get that in the pub.
Too much information there for us, Rob.
Rob thinks he's on his OnlyFans channel.
Surprised you know what that is.
You keep talking about it.
Oh, do I?
Yeah.
I didn't say how good my balls looked. I just said that it just blew past them.
And this is, we decided to record outside, sat in beer garden, chilled out, and everyone thinks it's a great idea until I spend hours editing it, and then everybody else, when they listen to it, like these three, well, not
two.
Not two, actually.
What, do we have to listen to it after it's been edited?
Can you just take that bit of wind out, Kirk? Oh, can you just take that rattle out? And oh, there's a bird chirping. Can you just make it a bit quieter?
You'll think you're on Spring Watch.
So how many people do we think actually turned up in all in all?
There's got to have been at least seven.
Oh, at least 4,000.
yeah, at least.
I counted at least seven or eight people.
You counted a couple of bar staff in that, so knock them down.
So we gave everybody a raffle ticket before they came in, didn't they? Or as they were sitting down.
I think it's fair to say, rather than going into numbers and trying to gauge that, but it literally was standing room only, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And that's like, wow. Yeah. And so I think, the next time we do something like this, we'll think a bit more about seating and making sure we've got extra seating for people.
Is that you saying we're going to do another one, Mark?
I'm saying I would like us to do another one. The question is, are you, Rob, not editing the video for the rest of your life? Have you got any availability? Are you caravanning?
I've got availability to be there for another live.
Right.
Any comment on video editing.
Do you two fancy it? Another one?
Well, if I've got a bit of time, I might pop along and talk into a mic with you three jokers at times.
I know, there's a couple of people on the socials that are asking whether we're going on tour.
I know.
On tour?
Well, yeah.
It does, you know, you do think maybe a lot of our listeners are in America, so we'll have to go to America. You've got to go where your fans are, haven't you?
Yeah.
I've got a question about tour. So if we, let's say we went on tour, right, and we're doing, like, say, Sheffield and Leeds and Newcastle, can't we just do the same show in, as in, that? I know that sounds a bit silly, but we'd just say the same things to different people.
Yeah, we'd only have to write one show.
Well, that'd be let's crack on with it. What
do you that's call easy. It? The chatting copy and paste tour.
Yeah.
We might get a bit stale after a while.
I think we've got four listeners in Newcastle, and I think we've got about two in Manchester, so we should be all right.
we might have a problem if somebody from Leeds comes to...
We'd record it in each of their... I'm getting turned into you, Mark. We could record it in each of those people's bathrooms.
I mean, I know we had people that we don't really obviously get to speak to everybody, but of the odd person we did speak to that listened to us, we had people that had travelled. Didn't we have someone that had travelled 2 hours or an hour and a half to see us?
An hour.
Yeah. Oh.
It's not like you to exaggerate.
No,
right?
I know, right? For some reason, I thought it were further.
But an hour's long enough.
It is if you're walking.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
An hour's long enough.
Yeah. So you know, the people did travel.
Yeah.
But maybe any further than an hour is a bit too much to ask. Yeah, so we need to go.
I'd like to give a shout out to Paul, who drove all the way from Scunthorpe.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cheers for coming, Paul. It was nice to meet you.
Yeah.
And to Stephen, who came from Leeds with his son.
Oh, Leeds, did they come from?
Oh, they came from Leeds, yeah.
Is that the lad that got the couple of questions?
He did the riddles.
He was really good.
Yeah.
And can we just take a moment? What are the chances, right, that we picked three raffle numbers, right, randomly, who were mixed in a bowl, three different people picked the numbers out and gave them a shuffle up, and out of the three numbers, it was 24, 25, and 26.
I know.
Yeah.
The first one was 27, but they were consecutive.
Well, they were consecutive.
Don't forget as well. Also, Pauline Barber. She came. She only down road at Chapel Town. She came with a friend. think a friend were called Elaine, I think.
Oh, they were sat next to you, weren't
That's
they?
That's right, yeah. Yeah. And so they're listeners that don't know us personally that took the time to come over. Obviously, we had a lot of people there that we knew, but there was quite a number of people that we didn't know. And so, really good.
I'll tell you what as well, Simon, who got the AI... No, what was it? It was...
Plot puzzle.
And I was thinking, I ain't got a chuffing
clue
what that is.
He was super fast, weren't he, getting that?
He was very fast, yeah. And then you said, did you not say that he writes in quite often with the right answer?
Pretty much every week, Simon will text me the answer to the feature. Wow. And I would say 99% of the time, he gets it bang on.
Mm. While we're talking about how clever people are, is Simon as good as getting things when he does the kazoo thing? Because I know a lot of our listeners get smocks. But we don't. But is he as quick as that as well? Wow, he's on it, Simon. Isn't he?
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, I've
it.
Just come to learn that I am just a little bit thick.
Just a little bit.
Yeah.
Well, maybe a lot.
Yeah.
Just a bit stupid. Do you know what I mean? Like, I'm good at what I do. I know what I know.
What do you
Anything
do?
Anything outside of that? Nah. I'm a bit thick, really. Because I don't get any of the, every time we do them, I'm sat there.
This is the only time we're not going to debate.
No, I've noticed. I've noticed that you've all just gone really quiet.
Yeah.
And you just let me say it.
We're all just sat here like nodding.
Yeah.
Well, while we're doing shout outs, though, we cannot forget Ollie from the Sheffield Steelers Fantasy League podcast.
Oh, of course. Yes.
Is that where the hampers came from?
Yeah.
Amazing.
Thank you. Yeah.
How thoughtful were that?
I've just literally, just as I got to the car, I just opened it up to have a look at what were in there. And so it's all like bar snacks. So you've got crisps, peanuts, and then there's three beers in there. I'm guessing they might be all a bit different, but they're like IPAs. And they're really, really, I mean, you know what I'm like? I love my
You've
IPAs.
Already drunk them, haven't you?
I haven't, but they probably need to go in the fridge for a bit. Yeah. But honestly, what a thoughtful gift.
Yeah, brilliant.
Absolutely.
Really thoughtful.
And he's doing his first episode next week, I think it is.
Yes,
very soon.
Podcast episode.
Yeah, brilliant. And he's doing it live from, I think he's doing it from Skegness Beach, I think.
Is that? Wow.
Yeah.
Literally, not pre-recorded,
he's
live.
He's going all out, doing it outside and everything.
He's
a
brave
man. So
do we know what it's called?
Yeah.
It's the Sheffield Steelers Fantasy League, I think is what it's called.
Right.
Well, the best of luck to him.
Correct me if I'm wrong, Ollie. Feel free to obviously come back. But anyone who's into ice hockey, or I don't know if there's a bit of fun outside of that, whether it's got to be strictly about ice hockey, but give the guy a listen. He's really nice guy, and I'm sure one day we'll get him on here. Probably not in the not too distant future, actually. See how he got on with his first episode, and I think it's important we support each other, isn't it?
Absolutely. Am I right in thinking we got more questions than we actually were able to answer?
Well, I must admit, when I first tried taking the back off the post box and miserably failed miserably even, and then I put my hand in because I think Rackham said, "Oh, just turn it upside down and put your hand in, get them out." And I put my hand in, I thought, "Christ, there's a lot of sheets in here." And I'm only expecting probably four or five, but there must have been 20 or 30, maybe even more.
Wow!
And so, yeah, we obviously read some of them out, but.
Have any of us got them?
We've got them here. Shall we? Well, they're nearest to me. So shall I read one of them out?
Or
a few of them out, shall we say?
Absolutely.
So that one.
So again, there's a bit of context for people that weren't there.
Context, yeah.
Why weren't you there?
Yeah.
But we had a little post box and we got some slips done for people to be able to write questions. And then towards the end of the podcast, we fished them out of the post box, and it gave us a chance to answer the questions that came from the audience. We received, as we've just said, we received more than what we was expecting.
It was fantastic.
So these are the ones that we are left over, which Mark's now counting.
Yeah, I'm just counting.
Mark's just putting them in alphabetical order.
There's about 15 of them or so. So,
okay.
We've got one here. Oh, is Trump... we've done that one, haven't
that
we?
One.
Yeah, so we've done, put that one that's one side. So here's one we've not done then. What's the name on this? Let me put my glasses on. This is from Courtney. What has been your biggest challenge in life?
In life?
In life.
In life.
Wow.
It's a big question. So let's answer this for Courtney.
I'm glad we didn't get that one earlier because we'd have been there all night if
we had.
Biggest challenge in life.
So I think I can start this off. I would say the biggest challenge, first off, was the decision to stop acting and go and become an electrician. That was the first thing, was actually making that decision. And then the second was actually going through the motions of becoming an electrician.
Mm.
Because I'm not overly academic. I'm not, my maths is not a strong skill of mine. And I really had to work hard to get that element of what I needed to do to become an electrician.
Mm.
So I would say that's probably the biggest challenge I've had in my life, to be fair.
What's yours, Kirk?
There's probably a few. I think if I had to say probably what was the biggest challenge that I had to overcome, was very much, there was a part in my life where I almost had a little bit of a, I don't want to say like a crisis or whatever, but I had a little bit of a meltdown, and I ended up leaving my girlfriend at the time, walked out the house, like it just came completely out of the blue, walked out the house that I was living with her. So walked out the house, walked a couple of miles down the road to my boss's house, knocked on his door and quit my job. And then stood there in the middle of Doncaster with nowhere to live, no partner, no job, no car, nothing.
Where's that violin, Rob?
I know.
Yeah. and I literally just quit everything, walked away from everything. So I was technically homeless, no car, no money, no job, nothing. And that was a challenging time to deal with in my head, to kind of stand by what I'd done, understood the reasons why I'd done it, but then build myself back up.
Yeah.
Do you get what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely.
So that was probably my biggest challenge, to kind of push through that and almost like hit a reset button and start again.
Yeah.
Mm.
I do remember when that happened, though, that I wasn't around very much at that point because I was in the cruise ships, wasn't I? But I do remember you going through that. It was a difficult time, that, wasn't it?
Anyone else?
For me, probably my biggest challenge was for when my first wife left me. And I don't mean just leaving me, but the fact that obviously we shared a house together, we both were managers at sort of Santander type thing, our DJ, so we were okay for money, but then she kept the house because of Ethan, and then I had to set up, you know, my life again, if you like.
And how old was you, Bart?
I was about 35-ish, bloody I want to say.
Right.
About 35.
I didn't realize that's how, what age you were when that all happened.
Yeah, so it's almost like resetting your life, because like we got to a point, and I don't want this to sound sort of like what's the word? Not big head. That's not the word. But we basically paid the mortgage off. We both got cars. We'd had holidays. We'd house had been done. We'd had a fitted kitchen because we'd got so much money, if you like. So.
Then were the days.
Yeah, I know. I know that sounds really big headed. I don't mean it to be, but. That's what made it harder when we split up, because I went back to renting, but of course I had nothing. I had no, you know, I just remember being in this sort of rented flat with like a portable 14-inch TV, and I weren't used to this. And it were a challenge to, like, because you're literally starting your life again.
Yeah.
When you divorce someone, I mean, you get off for everything, but you're by yourself again. It's not so much not being with someone, because I'm quite independent, but it was the fact that I'm having to start again. I've got to get back on housing market, type of thing. And so that, for me, that were a personal challenge for me to stop, reset and start again.
Absolutely.
And then go from that back to, you know, to where I am.
I'll be honest, I'm dreading the day Gemma does it to me.
Yeah.
You know.
Won't be long now, Rob.
Well,
if you want some advice, come to me.
Absolutely.
Because I've still got this 14-inch portable TV. So you can bother that.
Yeah. I bet you have still got it, haven't you?
Yeah. I have still got it.
It's black and white.
Yeah, it's got like an aerial. Well, it's not an aerial. It's a Kotak. Can you remember?
Can you remember those? They were circular aerials, weren't they? They used to be on top of them.
You used to
twist them, didn't you? With two little coil springs.
Of course, yeah.
Oh, the amount of times you remember things that I've just adjusting it. I'd have Kirsty standing, holding it.
While you were watching
until she'd get it to a certain position. I'd be like, right, now stay there. Yeah. Don't move. Stay there.
What about you, Mark?
Yep.
Similar to you and Rob, I suppose, Kirk. Not obviously not quite as dramatic as yours either, Kirk. But when I decided to change a career,
like you,
yeah,
Rob.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I literally just sort of walked away from what I knew and what I was good at, and started right at the bottom again, you know, to you know, obviously retrain and whatever. And that was really, really difficult time in my life. Very stressful. Knocks your confidence for six, doesn't it? Because you literally, you become super comfortable and confident in what, yeah, is what you are.
Yeah.
Up to that point, yeah, you know, you've found your groove, if you like.
You're like going back to an apprentice, aren't you?
Yeah.
Really?
And then, you know, you're sort of, you're back to, you're earning your stripes. You know, you're on a lower salary because you're training. And so that took a lot of getting used to. And that were a big challenge. Yeah. So, the emotional burden, I think, were massive because you've, you know, obviously having kids and being married and whatever, you've got responsibilities, aren't you? And you've, I think as blokes, we do. Mm. Feel that we have to provide, don't we? Mm. You know, I know it's probably an old-fashioned way of thinking, but you can't help it because I suppose that's how we've been brought up. So yeah, that would.
Well, I think the biggest difference there for both you, Marks, compared to mine and Kirk's, at the time you didn't have kids, did you, Kirk?
No,
and I still haven't got kids. Whereas for you two, when you went through your challenges, you both had kids. Mm. It wasn't just about you.
Yeah.
There was, as much as I'm not taking anything away from you, Kirk.
No, nor am I mine.
They were personal struggles to us.
Yeah, it's just another layer of complexity that's thrown
that
in there.
It's that heightened thing of, you're not just thinking about you. All I had to think about was myself in my issues and problems that I'd got at that moment in time.
Yeah.
So had you, Kirk, to some degree. Whereas you two were thinking even further. Yeah. So there is that whole. Yeah.
I think it does, you know, sometimes talking like, because I know obviously we genuinely mess around and talk very lighthearted or whatever, but we have got this side to us, obviously, as people. And I think it's times like that when you do sit and think about stuff like that and listen to each other and the struggle that you've gone through, that you almost have to take that time to then give yourselves a pat on the backs, don't you?
That's something, as you know, Kirk, I mean, you might be saying, Rob, I've never been very good at it, ever. Mm. And I've gotten better at it to be able to stand still and go, do you know what, actually, you should...
There's a wasp flying around Mark's head.
Trying to be serious and that, and I'm like smirking and wafting my hands around like Julian Clary.
And sweating like it's not going to go away.
Being able to give yourself a pat on the back and just acknowledge that, you know what, you should be proud of what you've achieved. You know, you take the struggles on the chin and you beat yourself up when you're in the struggles. You should be able to also give yourself a pat on the back, and it's very hard to do that, I think.
It is.
But yeah, that were a really deep question, that Courtney.
It was a deep question. No, it was from Courtney.
It was a good question, though, because it forced us to go places where we don't always go.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, because it's something we would probably not talk about as a subject, is it?
I think there's something to say on this, in that because we decide what we're going to talk about, or have an idea of what we're going to talk about. Yeah. We certainly don't plan what we're going to say, but we have a rough idea of what we might discuss, you know, on an evening when we're in the pub. But there's certain things that we might not choose to even think about talking about, because it's just, we think, well, that will be boring, or they'll not want to know about that. But when you're then not forced, but given a question by someone else that you weren't expecting, it almost makes you go, okay.
It is crazy, isn't it? Because we are overthinkers. We're a group of overthinkers. Yeah. With that. And we just want to produce, obviously, something entertaining, or, you know, and sometimes we can overthink it and think, oh, we can't really talk about that because people won't be interested in that, or why would they be interested in this? But I must admit, in the past, when we have done, whether it be stories about us past or anecdotes or maybe some serious subjects, we have always had positive feedback from it.
Well, the people who are listening to us, that talk to us and communicate with us, they feel like they're getting to know us, I suppose. So the fact that we can share the good and the bad and the ugly, you know.
Yeah.
And on that, is there more lighthearted question, Mark?
There's loads of them. So here we go. Take it into... Oh, we've done that one, haven't we? Snog, marry and avoid. Okay, we've done that one. Okay.
If you want to know the answers, then you should have been in the
line. Yeah. We did it a couple of hours ago. So there's a question to me. It says, Mark, and the reason I know that is because the first line says, I'm going to Disney. So, well, you can answer it, Mark, if you want. But it says, I'm going to Disney this year. What ride should I go on first? And this is from Harriet. So is Harriet the girl who did the hats first?
Yeah. Harriet the hat maker.
Harriet the hat maker.
It was nice to meet her early, actually. Yeah. You know, to put a face to the name. Yeah, it was nice.
Because she came up with her dad, didn't she?
Yes.
Because he came up because he won every prize, didn't he?
Yeah. Raffle.
Came up. Yeah. So, well, I'm going to Disney. What rides? Well, I don't know, obviously, that well. So, I mean, there's so many rides for you to choose from. You know her a little bit, don't you? Because obviously, you know Simon.
Well, I hope so, because I'm going to Disney with him.
With her, exactly. So, do you know what sort of rides she's into, by any chance? Does she like thrill rides? Or is she more... What? I don't know.
I think
I can give her some advice, but I need some background of her.
I think she's still at a bit of an age where she's probably finding that out herself.
Okay.
You know, as it is right now. I don't think she's been to many theme parks. I think they've been to Alton Towers before, okay. But I think they've only been maybe once or twice or whatever.
Have they been on the big rides?
I believe so, yes.
Brilliant.
Put it this way, when I have spoke to Harriet about Disney, she certainly hasn't said, oh, I'm not going on that or I'm not going on that.
Fantastic.
I want to come in with I've obviously not been to the American one, but been to the one in Paris.
Yeah.
I have got to say that, Harriet, you would absolutely love Ratatouille. It's incredible. Yes. Have they got it there in America?
They have now.
Yes,
it's
in
Epcot.
I didn't know that.
In the
French Pavilion.
It's fantastic. It's like half roller coaster, half, what do you call it?
Physical sets.
It's videos and stuff, isn't it?
Video based and physical sets.
It's like 3D. It's fantastic. So, yeah, Harriet, you should go on that.
Yep.
That's the only one I know.
Yeah, well, listen, it's a good ride to go on. Absolutely.
Does she like Harry Potter?
Yes.
The question says Disney. And that's at Universal.
Yeah.
So well, I'm being quite pedantic there.
Oh well. Can you just pipe down
a little bit there?
Well, you give yours because I'm going to.
You answer the question for Disney.
Well, yes. Yeah. Well, she will be going to Universal, so you can come in on that.
Go on.
I think what I'll do is she says Disney, so I'll say a ride and slash attraction for each park. So Magic Kingdom, I would say Pirates is good. Pirates of the Caribbean.
That's getting up, isn't it?
It is. Epcot, I would, well, maybe go with Mark's and go with Ratatouille or Guardians of the Galaxy.
Test Track's just reopened, though.
Test Track's reopened. I have seen a video of that. It does look impressive. Animal Kingdom, I would say, it's got to be Avatar.
Oh, goodness sake. If you didn't say that, I'm going to throw this can at you.
Well, I was going to say Spinning Dinosaurs, but no, that's closed now. But Avatar.
Avatar's the best ride I've ever been on in my life.
Yeah, it's mind-blowing, isn't it?
Mind-blowing.
What's the other part? Disney Hollywood Studios. Now, I've not been on it because it wasn't open when we went, but I would say Rise of the Resistance, which is the Star Wars ride. So there are some rides for you to go on. Now, I'm going to call her Charlotte. Harriet, I'm going to pass you over to my right-hand man, Rob, who's going to tell you all about Universal.
Well, I'm not going to tell you all about it, but for me, and as much as you might think I'm going to say Harry Potter, I'm not.
Ooh.
I'm going to say Hulk. Because that is exhilarating. That is it still open?
Yes.
Oh, thank goodness.
Although, just so I've said it though, just while we're talking about it, because I know we will move on soon, other Mark, because I think he's zoned out.
Yeah.
But apparently,
yeah.
Oh.
Velocicoaster in Universal.
Yeah.
Makes Hulk look like a kiddie's ride.
Yeah. Oh right. Yes. Okay. Well, Hulk was amazing. So I can only speak of my current knowledge of the parks. You'll love Hulk.
Yeah. So before we move on to the next question, thank you for the question, Harriet. Have loads of fun, obviously, I'm very jealous of you going. Obviously, I know Kirk's going and the rest of the family. So have loads of fun, Harriet. And I want to see, obviously, loads of photos of you all when you all get back.
I'll FaceTime you all with her.
Yes,
mate.
I know you
just
will.
Just to rub it in.
Right, shall we move on to another question? Well, yeah. Turkey teeth we've done. Right, next one then. This is a good one. If you had the keys to number 10 Downing Street, what would you change first and why?
Oh, what a question.
I know what Robert changed.
So do you want to come here, Mark?
I reckon Robert get rid of Cat. You would, wouldn't you?
No, not far off.
Not far off, yeah.
Right, Mark, should we go with you first?
What would I change?
Yeah, what would you change?
I don't know what the wallpaper's like or anything.
Well, you know Boris Johnson changed it all, didn't he? Because it was, you know, so are you going to change it all from that?
I don't know if I'd do it with deco. I'd probably just I'd probably leave front door open. I don't know actually. I don't know.
Okay.
I mean, I think she means policy.
Yeah. Right. So
I know what I'm going to say. So
I know what I'm going to say,
and it's quite controversial. But okay. But go on. Is anybody?
So I would definitely. It's something I would definitely want to do is. And I won't name the person that did it because it was quite controversial when he was in assistance. But
they need to overthrow the system in Whitehall, in that somebody does a crap job, they get sacked, and then they get another job. How can that even be? Do you know what I mean? There's people in government and those outer circles, if you like, of government, that just move from job to job to job to job, failure after failure. Mm. And how can that possibly be a thing? Do you know what I mean? If you got sacked from work, granted, you'd want to get another job, obviously, but you're not going to be looking at, you know, another high-profile position, I would imagine, because you've done something catastrophic in your previous position.
Especially
you know
the same company.
Well, exactly. And so it's that, for me, I think would be the number one, because I'd want to make sure that, you know, don't get me wrong, people make mistakes, but I'd want to make sure that people that were doing the jobs were competent enough at least to do it.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I agree with that. All wholeheartedly.
You guys, go next. Leave me last, please.
Okay. Should we go to you? By the way, the question is from Ollie. I didn't mention his name.
So Ollie.
My apologies, Ollie. This is your question. Kirk, so what about you?
Now, I could talk about this all night. And you know, I could.
Well, I could
just for the record, listeners, I keep asking the boys to let's do another politics special. But
yeah, you've only got four characters left.
Yeah.
Perhaps
we should do a spin-off, me and you.
There are actually two things. One is my main one. I'll come back to that in a minute. I just want to say my second one, because it kind of goes a little bit hand in hand with what Mark just said.
I haven't said anything yet.
The other one.
Oh.
I would increase the salaries for all politicians.
All right.
To high paying jobs. And the reason why I would do that is to attract
better
talent.
People into the system of running the country.
Right.
The end of the day, all the your main intelligent people, your main people that are really good at what they do, they work in the private sector because that's where the money is. When actually the most important thing is running the country. So I would rather have them in running the country, but they're not going to do it. I know there's a lot of people out there now that's probably throwing whatever device across the room thinking that politicians get paid loads and loads and loads of money. Relative terms for the job that they do and the responsibility that they have, it's peanuts. And you know, you pay peanuts and you get monkeys. So, but my main one will be to overhaul the whole tax system. So the whole tax system is completely wrong. So, and that's on both levels. So for me, you know, how do you sit there and say that you've got a national living wage is, you know, 24 grand or whatever it is now, saying that's what you need to earn as a minimum for a good standard of living, but then put the tax threshold at 12 grand. You know, if something's a national living wage, then it should be tax-free up to that amount to make it.
You don't think it's set at 24 because of the tax threshold?
No, I don't. I think it's set there... The reason why they've set the national living wage at that and the is to push more people into tax receipts to increase the tax. So you start having to pay more at the bottom, it brings more people into that tax threshold.
Yeah, but the idea that national living wage is set at 24 is to counteract the fact that they are paying tax.
Yes, I get what you're saying.
If it were tax free, you could say, well, it's tax free, but you're only delivering national living wages. 12 grand,
yeah,
18
but,
grand,
yeah,
whatever,
this,
you know.
Yeah, which I get your point, but what I'm saying is with the cost of living, rents, mortgages or whatever, that the national living wage probably should be set around 24, 25 grand.
Yeah.
You know, and I also believe, again, people throw the devices out the window or whatever, the perception of what's classed as higher earners is very outdated.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, it's been 50 grand for... as long as whatever. So I believe that threshold should be increased. Now, do I believe that on the flip side, to help pay for that, that certain loopholes should be closed regarding tax avoidance? Yes. And do I believe that people that are earning more than, let's say, 5 million or 10 million a year should be then taxed more, you know, to help compensate? Yes, I do. I do. I don't attack millionaires. I'm a big believer in capitalism. But I believe that the tax threshold is too low at the bottom end, and I think people should be earning more tax-free. And I believe that the threshold should be raised for what is classed as a higher earner, not just by 10 grand, 20 grand, by hundreds of thousands of pounds.
This wasp really loves me. Sorry.
And for the record...
Oh, I've really got it, man. I've really got it mad now. I've hit it.
It's coming back for seconds.
Whose idea was to put orange windshields on these microphones? Sorry, Kirk.
And for the record, I strongly, strongly, strongly believe in the driving. You can't stop it, can I? Shall I wait until you're done?
It's really taking over. All I can see is
get out my drink. It's in my drink.
Whose idea were it to record? Yeah.
Do you know this wasp? This wasp is a Tory. That's what this is. It's gone in my drink.
It's gone in
my
drink.
It's a Tory. It won't leave it be.
Brilliant.
I'm a strong believer that economy is grown in by putting more money in people's pockets. So there you go.
Okay.
Very good answer that, Kirk.
Shall I go?
Yeah, yep. You go.
Yeah, see you later.
Okay, well, both of mine are a little bit controversial. So one, I would abolish the House of Lords.
Okay.
I think it's outdated. It's old-fashioned. You don't need... Don't blow that wasp on me, Marky. I think that they're unelected. Peerages to the mates. I just don't like the whole system. Or if they don't abolish it, they should really... Really trim it down, because there's hundreds of them.
I like the idea of it. It's got out of hand.
It needs reforming. Yeah. But I'm going to be controversial and just say get rid of it. Yeah. Full stop, because it's a bit outdated. And the second one, which is even probably more controversial, is that I would leave the ECHR.
Oh, okay.
I know Bob's looking at he's going, is that a department in the hospital?
Yeah, is it something to do with the post office or something?
No. I thought Rob was going to sit there and thought, I thought we already had left.
Yeah.
Is that what George Clooney were in?
It's the European Courts of... what did I say? What?
You were nearly right.
ECHR, so it's the...
European Courts.
European Courts of
Human Rights.
Human Rights. Yeah. I got it in my head, I just can't say that. I think we should leave it.
All right, and what do they do there?
They oversee some of our laws. I mean, people listening to this. Sorry, for the benefit of the tape, Mark is still dancing around with this wasp. Bless him. I mean, people will know, probably listen to this podcast, that I did vote for Brexit. I'm happy to say that. That's fine. Some people did, some people didn't. So I think that when we left the European Union, we didn't leave that particular court, so therefore some of our laws are stipulated by them, and we restricted to some degree on what we can and can't do. So that's why I feel we should.
So
should
to
leave.
Give you just a very real like an example, yeah, okay. So you can have it in your head of what sort of problems that it can cause, is that when they were trying to sort out the immigration system, and they came up with the Rwanda plan.
Yeah,
which was obviously to move immigrants over to Rwanda.
Yeah,
And it was voted through. It was voted through Parliament. It was our government decided that that's what we were going to do. Yeah,
yeah.
It was the ECHR that stopped it.
Ah, right. Okay.
Anyway,
so that's the amount. So over to you, Rob.
Yeah, I was going to say. Well, I don't think mine's very controversial. I'd just get rid of the NHS and privatise all healthcare.
Next question.
I'm joking. No, I would like the NHS to be run more like a business than it is at the minute. Because I'm not really good at getting deep into this, because I'm in no position to talk about it, because I don't know anything about these things. But I just wish, when I think about it, I just think if this was run in the way that companies are run, there wouldn't be a lot of the things that happen, because they just would go, you can't spend that amount of money on that, or you can't do that, or that's not... Do you know what I mean?
No, I
just
feel as
if it was run more like a business, it might work better.
Yeah,
I can't say any more than that, but that's what I would... Hope to do.
Yeah, fine.
Yeah.
Okay. So,
how many more of these actually got?
Is that from Ollie?
That was from Ollie. Yes. So there's a more light-hearted one. So this says, it says to Dad. So that's not going to be you, Rob. So for a start, and I can't. Let me just see. It says here, what fights, and then something in brackets. I'll come back to that. Have you all been in? And that's by from Noah. So this is from obviously your son, Kirk. What's that word in brackets that you'll probably be able to see his handwriting?
Arguments.
Arguments. All right. Okay. So that's what he's asking us. So, Dad, what fights, arguments have you all been in? Dad, does he mean us collect us four together or separately?
I think he means us four.
Oh, okay.
All right, okay.
Oh, okay.
I don't, well. Our WhatsApp chat.
Well, should me and Kurt just sit back while you two talk about your fights that you two have?
Well, then we never have fights. We certainly never have fights. No. In fact, I don't think
we just... Sometimes we have to sleep in separate bedrooms.
Well, separate beds. I honestly don't think we've ever got to a point where we've ever actually stood, certainly not face to face. We've never even got to a point where one of us has had to walk away from each other.
No.
And gone, right, you're, you know, annoying me so much right now that I've got to walk away from you. I think that's happened between me and Kirk on occasion. Not me, Kirk. He had to walk away from me because I just annoy him sometimes.
Are you talking generally? Are you talking about podcast related?
No, away from the podcast.
Oh, okay.
There's been times where Kirk's just gone. In fact, I do recall a moment where Kirk once said, you better walk away from me before I punch you in the face.
Oh, okay.
I honestly...
And he said it like that with no swear words.
No, there was a few F-bombs in there. And I genuinely can't tell you why it was. I can't remember the context of where it was or why, but I just remember that. Do you remember that?
Yeah, sometimes you've just got to be a bit direct with Rob. That's all.
Yeah, and that was that. But in terms of this, I certainly don't know of any. Me and Mark, the other Mark, we definitely clash the most, don't we?
Yeah.
But we're good enough.
It only comes from a good place, though.
Yeah,
it?
We it's respect
creative,
each other so much.
Differences.
Yeah, creative differences.
When you're in a safe space, you feel safe enough to say exactly what your opinion is on that matter or that thing. Yeah. and then from there, you respect each other to know that you can speak your mind. But then there comes a point where you accept that. Hold on, we're in a position where we. This is not right. We need to just say, well,
yeah,
it's all right. We're all right with
this.
We're
all right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Group hug.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. End of the day, it's
Noah, it's not big and it's not clever.
Yeah.
So don't be thinking about it.
End of the day, we have a very loving friendship and it all comes from love, doesn't it?
100%.
Yeah. And then you've got a referee in the middle of it all.
Yeah. You. Yeah. I'm just thinking, if we've got loads of these...
Well, I'm going to say, I'll do one more and then we'll leave them for another episode.
Okay.
Because there are lots more because people are going, they've not read mine out yet. But there are more, guys. So don't worry. We will read them out on another episode. But I'll do last one then because it's quite a light one and it's an easy one. And it says staff at the bottom. Or does it say staff or does it? Oh, no, I know.
When are you finishing?
Oh, hang on.
From the staff, when are you finishing?
No, it might not be staff. It says stuff. Does that say, don't read the question. Does that say?
Stuff.
Stoff,
yeah.
Is that person?
Yeah.
Oh, right, sorry.
They call
I thought it was from the staff.
Yeah, it's Stoff or Stoffy.
Stoffy, right, okay. Well, this is Stoffy's question. And the question is, have we not done this before? What came first, the chicken or the egg? Have we done this?
Yeah, we did this one, didn't we?
We have done it.
Joe nailed it.
She did.
Yes, it was Joe's episode.
Let me find a more light auto. I didn't think we'd done that one, so let's find out. Let me find a more light-hearted one.
While you're doing that, Stoff, if you are listening... The egg came before the chicken.
Yeah, that's what Joe said, isn't it?
Yeah, because if you believe in the laws of evolution, that what gave birth to the egg was almost a chicken, and then the egg was laid, and then out came the chicken.
Yeah. I won't do one more because I can't find any more light-hearted ones. They're good questions, don't believe.
I'll tell you what,
they are good questions.
I'll put the handbrake on, shall I? Do a handbrake turn because the other day I were driving. And I don't know if you know, in Tesla, obviously you've got this massive screen next to you. And on it, when you're driving different places, there are icons that pop up on the map. And they're like, you can click on them as you're driving. And they're landmarks. And I was driving, I was actually stuck in traffic at this point because they're doing a lot of work on the A1 around an area called Wentbridge, which is not far from like Pontefract and that sort of thing. And anyway, so when I was driving across this viaduct... And I noticed that there was a landmark thing. And when I pressed it, there was some writing. I thought, I'll have a look at that when I pull over. Anyway, somebody had left a review. And I thought, this is class. Okay. So this is a review for Wentbridge Viaduct, which is on the A1. It's not far from Barnsdale Bar.
Hold on a minute.
Go on.
So you were driving down a road. You went under a bridge I'll see if anyone's made a review on this bridge.
No. Are you listening?
Yeah, but I
so I was driving on the maps. You get the little things that pop up that show that there's a landmark.
Right. Yeah.
And I just clicked on it, and then it opened up, and there was some text.
Right.
And I thought, oh, I'll make a note. When I pull over, I'll read what that says. So anyway, I did later on, because obviously we're stuck in traffic, but when I pulled over, I thought I'll have a read of that. Anyway, it was a review on the viaduct that I'd just driven over.
Okay, but just let me say, what the... Why are they giving people on maps that you're driving Google reviews for to go, oh, do you know what? I'll have a read of that while I'm driving my car.
Well, so this is the review. The first review that I saw. This is a quality flyover. It's not the best looking, but it stops you falling into the river below, which I find is a bonus. However, can all the drivers crossing it stop looking at the views as it slows the traffic down? The view is nice, though. And it got me thinking. I thought, I wonder how many other reviews there are like this.
Oh, here we go. He's got a whole dictionary.
And so, not for the viaduct, because that would have been a bit bland. So I thought, I'll have a look. So have you ever been up... Oh, Kirk, I know you have. Have you ever been up Ben Nevis?
On the Ben Nevis?
Have you ever been up Ben... You know what Ben Nevis? It's a mountain in Scotland. Have you been up?
No.
Mark, no, you've been up at Kirk.
I have.
No,
yeah.
My wheelchair not
anyway,
get
over. So somebody left this review on the Ben Nevis Google sort of review. Very steep and uneven pathways that could be doing with some work. No toilet, no shops from the bottom to the top. I was very hungry and parched when we arrived at the summit. It was covered in snow. Won't be long till someone has an accident.
That's hilarious.
And I'm right in saying that Ben Nevis is the tallest mountain in the UK, yeah?
It is. Yeah. Yeah. And then somebody decided, they'd been to go and look at Big Ben. And they wrote, wow, a clock. We don't have that in America.
Oh, brilliant.
A bit more closer to home, somebody went to Skegness. And Jenny had such a wonderful trip. She got really close and personal with the sand, two rotations and a lay down, and she came home looking like a rotisserie chicken. So then I thought, well, what else is there? So somebody went to Arthur's Seat, another hill, which is in Edinburgh.
Yeah, I've heard about that. I didn't know it were in Edinburgh. I'd heard of Arthur's Seat.
What, 1 out of 5 it scored on this review. It's called Arthur's Seat. Not a chair in sight. Had to sit on the grass and was left with an unsightly wet patch, and it looked like I had soiled myself.
Brilliant.
And then I thought, well, I'll have a look on some different platforms.
You've been busy, Mark, haven't you?
Yeah, so I had a look on Amazon, and you can get some real quirky stuff on Amazon.
Seen some of these.
And anyway, have you seen those beach balls? The super-sized beach balls. I'm
going to
show you
them,
this picture of it, and I'll put it on thing. That's like an indication of how big it is.
Wow.
Okay. It's massive.
Oh, wow.
It looks. It must be 6 or 7 foot tall, this beach ball. Right. Oh, no, it actually says 12 foot. It's a 12-foot pull-to-ball beach ball.
Wow.
2 out of 5 it scored. And the review headline is, a fun way to ruin a weekend and blow $100. So obviously it's an American review. We took this ball to the beach, and after close to 2 hours to pump it up, we rushed it, we pushed it around for about 10 fun-filled minutes. That was when the wind picked it up and sent it hurtling down the beach at about 40 knots. It destroyed everything in its path. Children screamed in horror at the giant inflatable monster that crushed their sandcastles. Grown men were knocked down trying to save their families. The faster we chased it, the faster it rolled. It was like it was mocking us. Eventually, we had to stop running after it because its path of injury and destruction was going to cost us a fortune in legal fees. Rumour has it that it can still be seen stalking innocent families on the Florida panhandle. We lost it in South Carolina, so there is something to be said about its durability.
That is brilliant.
Brilliant.
What a review.
We should make this a feature.
We got a food related one. And this is the Iceland Classic All Day Breakfast. 1 star. Tastes simply horrible. If I was starving and had to pick between eating this and eating my own arms, then eating my own arms, then I would be no good in a Mexican wave. This next one, I'll show you a picture. It's on Amazon. It's a coffin.
Is it a bed coffin?
5 stars, this one.
Oh.
No complaints from Grandpa. this one's for a pub. Called the Sportsman. Sat down
And soon after, the title is called Czech Kitchen Times. Sat down, and soon after, someone took our drinks order. When they were brought, we were told the kitchen is closed today. You'd think we would be told this before we'd spent £6.30 on two Diet Cokes. We left quite annoyed. I checked online prior to visiting, and it said the kitchen is closed on Mondays. So the sportsman manager replied and put, "You visited on a Monday. As your review states, we advertise kitchen closure on Mondays. You will be pleased to hear that the kitchen is now open 7 days a week." And then lastly is this one. This is the horse and jockey. I don't know whereabouts it is. This got one star. The headline is disappointed. "Well, not sure what you're right. From the outside, it looks like a lovely, quaint country pub. Inside is very different. Staff are lovely and positive and attentive. Not sure what can be said for the landlady's partner, who was very rude and very inappropriate and thought it was okay to show his genitalia to another customer, not appropriate in a family pub."
Wow.
Sorry, there is actually one more. We will finish on this one. This is one star. I won't tell you the headline. So they stopped for one night. Central Station, it's called. "I stopped for one night as it's in a convenient location. However, I wish I'd stopped in the Premier Inn around the corner as the night went on. The room was small but adequate for what was needed for just a stopover. On going outside, there were men dressed in rubber and leather gear, some as dogs and other animals with little to hide. Found out the downstairs was also run as a fetish club." No mention of this in any literature I'd read, and never stopped. I'd have never stopped if I'd have known. Yeah.
Brilliant.
Very good, Mark. Very good.
I actually want to change my answer to what I'd change if I got into number 10.
Yeah?
I'd ban review sites.
Would you?
I hate them with a passion.
It's not good for your industry, is it?
It's horrible. And the thing is, don't get me wrong, I understand why there's room for it in things like products. Do you get what I mean? Yep. So like, if you were buying a product, yep, then you may, you know,
rather
look
than
for reviews.
Services.
Yeah, yeah.
But I think services, I know where you're going with this. Hotels, particularly.
Well, yeah, just hospitality or whatever it is. Everything's so subjective, right? People's expectations are different. Yeah. I mean, I've been doing my job for 20 years, and in that 20 years, I've in the same hotel, apparently, I've managed to run the best hotel in the world and the worst hotel in the world.
Yeah.
It's the same hotel. I best not carry on.
Can I just say something on that? And I know I've mentioned it before, but I'll mention it again because I'm really passionate about it. But you know, like you've just said about people can review hotels and stuff. Like somebody could say, your hotel, put a bad review on it. Yeah. I think we should be able to review people. So you, for example, if they want to stay at your hotel, you should be able to look online at Mr. and Mrs. Smith and go, no, you've made other complaints of hotels, so we don't want your customer here. So because it's a one-sided trip.
Yeah.
They can review you, but you've no idea what that customer's like. And they could be the worst customer in the world.
I have said before that I'd love to set up a site called Customer Advisor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where people can go on and leave reviews.
Because ultimately,
on
if you think about it, it's like eBay. You know, when the seller, you as a buyer, you get to say how the seller was. The seller gets to say what you were like,
but
as a buyer.
There should be room for honest reviews, shouldn't there? I mean,
no, because it's subjective.
Well, is it?
Yes.
So I'll give you this one then. This is a hotel.
Yep.
This is the real last one. Do not stay in this absolute dump of a hotel. And I use the term hotel very loosely. I cannot convey strong enough how disgusting this place is. Bloodstained headboards that have clearly been up since the World War, the first one. Rude staff, windows that won't close, no hot water, broken furniture, dirty utensils, broken light fittings, and actual poo in the kettle.
but just to back
sounds
Kirk,
like where we stay.
Just to back Kirk's point up, though. If you said that to Simon, who lives in a cardboard box in the town centre, how would he fare against that hotel? He'd probably love it.
He wouldn't have poo in his kettle.
It's not just about that. For me, it's about how real is it? Did the person actually stay there in the first place? Which you have no way of verifying.
Yeah.
Yeah, on the thing. You literally could go on any hotel on TripAdvisor or whatever and write a review or a comment. Yeah. There's no way of checking it. That when they start saying things like staff are rude, based on what level, how rude was that customer in the first place?
Yeah.
Do I believe there was poo in the kettle? Not at all.
No.
Not one piece of me believes that is true. And that's the thing that
well, that's just ruined my feature, isn't it?
It becomes a breeding ground for people to be able to either get their own back on something when they've done something wrong, or more than anything, get money back or get something for free.
Yeah.
Yeah, the amount of people that come to me and they say, I've had this problem, and you go, okay, not a problem. Let me fix that problem for you. Yeah. And then you give them a solution to that problem, you know, and then they go, but I want my room for free. I want you to knock my room. Well, I'm sorry. No, you know, the fact that the kettle took 2 minutes, 30 seconds to boil instead of 2 minutes, 10 seconds that you wanted, I believe that giving you a free meal in the restaurant is enough for that. Well, give me a full refund or I'm going to write you a review.
Can I just say then about when we do this Wheel of Features at the end of this episode, I've got to walk all the way back into this pub. We're in Bear Garden. I'm not walking back in there.
It's not miles away.
At my age. Listen, I've just been talking like nearly 4 days on a mic in pub. Now you want me to go back into Wheel of Features?
I tell you what, we'll not do it, Mark, shall we?
I'd love that.
Do you need to go and draw? Do you need to go home and draw the curtains?
I do. But the thing is, you're putting it on me, so listeners will be going, you're not doing Wheel of Features, and they'll blame me.
It'll be back next week.
Do you know what? Let's make a joint decision. We'll just not do it then.
Okay. Yeah.
But it's all your fault.
Not my fault, listeners. Not my fault.
So on that note, it's been a pleasure.
Who's round is it?
Yeah.
Good point.
It's certainly not Rob's.
No. See you next week.
Bye. See you next week.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for your continued support with our independent podcast. Did you know that you can interact with us and other listeners on Facebook on the Chat In Tap Room Facebook group? You can also get in touch via email in the chat at gmail.com and, of course, on any of our socials. Thank you, and we'll see you next week.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.